Hello and welcome to another edition of Health Sense, supported by Glen Eagles Hospital on your side. I'm Glen Ong and he's the Flying Dutchman. And this month's theme is in line with the holiday season and things to take note of while feasting and traveling.
Now, you know that Health Sense is a monthly series where we talk to a collective of medical and wellness specialists about a wide range of different health matters. Today, we're going to be discussing things like heart attacks due to excitement. We'll talk about holiday weight gain. Don't we all know about that? And travel tips before you fly.
Now, year end is a time for traveling. And since it is also the school holiday period, while many of us are well adapted to traveling with the rise of affordable travel options, it is inevitable that some of us experience some problems to the nose and ears while on vacation. And so today we have Dr. Barry Tan, ENT specialist from Glen Eagles Hospital Singapore with us.
Thank you, Glenn.
Hello, doctor. Now, my question for you is, what does having an airplane ear mean? And is it only limited to traveling on aeroplanes?
Well, it is not related to just strictly airplane travel. It's related to any changes in cabin pressure. So if your environment air pressure changes and your eustachian tube, which is the ventilation tube of the middle ear, doesn't change in time, then you get this syndrome of an airplane ear, which is essentially a blocked ear sensation.
Right.
And in an airplane ear, basically what happens is that the middle ear, which is ventilated through the eustachian tube to the back of the nose, doesn't ventilate. So while the external environment changes, the internal environment within that confined space remains still. It's just like if you bring one of those mineral water bottles with a little bit of air, if you forget to uncap it and you leave it capped and in the aeroplane, when you take it out of your bag at the end of the flight, you realize that it's terribly compressed. The plastic has completely been sucked in. Mm. And that's exactly what happens. So this is a confined space.
So this is why I remember when I don't see it anymore on airlines, but in the old days, before you took off, they'd come around with sweets.
Yes.
And they get you to suck on sweets. Yeah, I was really disappointed when airlines stopped giving out those sweets.
Yeah.
Because I would take like 8, 10 at one time. It was great. Yeah. Covered me for the entire flight. I thought it was fabulous.
You're listening to Health Sense, and today we're with Dr. Barry Tan, ENT specialist, Glen Eagles Hospital, Singapore. When we come back, we'll find out the right way to stop a nosebleed.
Glen and the Flying Dutchman. Good times. Greatest hits. 1FM 91.3.
1FM 91.3. It's Glen and the Flying Dutchman, and we are back on Health Sense. Today we have Dr. Barry Tan, ENT specialist at Glen Eagles Hospital, Singapore.
Nosebleeds is another problem. I've had it when I travel. What's the right way to stop a nosebleed?
Okay.
So tilt your head back, put two tissues up your nose, and that's it.
Okay. Well, tilting the back is actually the wrong posture. You should tilt it forwards.
Okay, that's the first one I've done wrong. Okay, fine.
And the reason for that is because if you tilt the head backwards, then the nosebleeds tend to drip through the back of the nose down towards your throat, and you tend to swallow it. And for kids, if you teach them that, then they continue to keep swallowing.
Mm.
And to a point where if the stomach gets full of blood, half an hour later, they'll be vomiting all their blood out. And then suddenly you think, oh gosh, what's happened to my child?
Yes.
Why is he vomiting blood?
Right.
So that's not a good option.
Okay.
A good option is actually to press the soft part of your nose, what we call the nostrils,
mm-hmm.
down to the center until you sound like Donald Duck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if you don't sound like Donald Duck, you're not pressing it right.
Okay.
Yeah. Because most parents have this impression that you should press
higher up.
Higher up,
yes.
You know, the bones.
Yes.
But if you press higher up, you're not actually compressing the part that usually bleeds. The part that usually bleeds happens to be in the center, in the front of the nose.
Oh.
And that's because of very thin skin linings, which usually break. And especially when you travel to temperate countries,
yes.
or dry countries.
Yes.
Yeah, the skin really cracks. And because it's difficult to apply moisturizers there, it's not like your skin, you can apply plenty of moisturizers. The skin lining of the nose gets dry very fast.
Mm.
So in order to compress that spot, you have to press the soft part of the nose to the front, right in the center,
right.
not at the top. And at the top, the bone prevents you from applying local pressure.
So what's really happening in your nose is the same thing that would happen around your lips. It's just skin cracking.
Skin cracking, exactly. Yeah. It's just that the nose is far more vascular.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got so much more blood supply.
Yeah.
Multiple blood supplies.
Which is why when kids play with their noses and all that, they might accidentally break the membrane.
Yes, yes. And so many kids are nose diggers.
Yeah.
A finger is a dangerous implement.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Tan. When we come back, we're going to talk about some tips on how to help your child feel more comfortable while traveling.
Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. Good times. Greatest hits. 1FM 91.3.
1FM 91.3. It's Glenn and the Flying Dutchman, and we are back on Health Sense. Today we have Dr. Barry Tan, ENT specialist at Glen Eagles Hospital, Singapore.
Okay. Going back, this is nothing. Glenn doesn't have kids, but I've had it, and I've got to say, I've done some terrible things to get my kids through taking off and landing on a plane. It's always uncomfortable for them, right? They're stuck in a bassinet. You can't when they're very young. How do we help a child, a baby, with that discomfort in a plane?
Most times, babies will be uncomfortable from that
That air pressure.
The air pressure changes, and predominantly for the ears.
Yeah.
And for the children, because they are not able to coordinate vowel salva, the blowing of the nose, most times we would encourage them to either suck a sweet if they are old enough. If they're not able to suck a sweet because they're still too young, then mothers are encouraged to actually feed the child, because when during takeoff and landing, the bassinets are removed.
Yes, and the baby is...
And the baby is cradled.
And strapped to you.
Strapped to you. That's a good time, actually, to, before the takeoff, as well as before the descent, ask for your milk to be prepared. So to have your warm water ready, reconstitute the milk, and to time it. Because you, as an adult, you would be able to sense when the air pressure also roughly changes. And that's when you should encourage your baby to suck and to suckle and to feed. And by the sheer mechanism of sucking, they're able to open their eustachian tubes.
Nice.
So that's a very useful method.
That is interesting.
Of course, if your baby is having the flu, the runny nose, then it'll be good to take an antihistamine syrup. Some antihistamine syrups are actually sedating, so that in itself can be quite a lifesaver.
I've used that once or twice.
Yeah, that's right.
Gotta say.
Well, it's been very interesting. Thank you so much, Dr. Barry Tan, for talking to us. Dr. Barry Tan, of course, is an ENT specialist at Glen Eagles Hospital, Singapore. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. Good times. Greatest hits. 1FM 91.3.